Praise the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a good praise offering in this place this evening. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we spend the next couple of moments, amen, just worshiping the Lord in this place? Amen. You know, many of us have had a long week, and maybe it's been a long day. But, you know, let's put all those things aside for the next couple of moments. Everything that we have to look forward to this week, maybe going back to work, you know, all of life's challenges that we face on a daily basis. But will you join me this evening and just putting all that to the side right now and focusing in on the object of our affection, which is Jesus Christ this evening, our Savior, the one that died for us, that shed His blood so that we would be forgiven, so that we wouldn't have to spend an eternity in hell, but He made a way for us by giving His life as a sacrifice. He did that for us even when we didn't deserve it. And I believe this evening that He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands all over this place. And let's worship Him in this place tonight. Hallelujah. We give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise, Jesus. There's none like You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice this evening.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in Your love. Here in Your love. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in Your love. So set on fire. Set on fire God in my soul. Here I am.
Start to worship Him in this place. Start to give Him glory and praise in this place. Lift your voice and lift your heart. Come on, people of God. Let's worship the King of glory in this place tonight. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give You glory. We give You praise, God, because You're worthy, Lord. More of You in our lives this evening, God. We want more of Your presence in our lives, God. Fill this sanctuary with Your presence tonight, God. That our voices would be a sweet sound in Your ear this evening. Come on, lift your voice before the Lord in this place tonight. If you're thankful for what He's done in your life, lift your voice. If you're in need and you need Jesus to intervene in your life, lift up your voice and say, Jesus, here I am, Lord. I need more of You in my life tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. I need Your strength, God. I need Your supernatural power in my life, God. I need a miracle in my life, God. I need Your intervention, God. Without You, God, I can't make it, God. I need You every day of my life, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, right there. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Don't be in a hurry. Just worship Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all of our worship. The Bible says that He inhabits the praise of His people. And as we praise Him, His presence grows stronger and stronger in our midst. Come on, welcome His presence. Praise Him. Praise Him in this place and worship Him. Welcome His presence into your life tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is near. Now's your time. Now's your time to press in and say, Jesus, I need You tonight, Lord. Inhabit the praise of Your people in this place tonight, Lord. Move in the midst of this congregation, God. Fill the hearts and the minds of Your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Enjoy the presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need You tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have Your way in this place tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now with everything that You have, give the Lord a good praise offering in this place tonight. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we're just getting started. Give the Lord a good praise offering tonight. As you remain standing, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles, amen, to 1 Samuel chapter 26. How many know God is good? We used to sing a song that said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. I wish I knew the words, brother. I'd sing it. But ain't no high like the Most High, amen. We used to think that we were getting high in the world, but I want you to know that you can't get any higher than when you're walking with Jesus. Amen. There used to be an older brother in our church when I first started off that would always say, que andaba bien, hallelujah. And the interpretation for those of you that don't speak Spanish is that he was loaded on Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 26, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. It says, now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hidden in the hill of Hikalah opposite Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hikalah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road, but David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose, and he came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. Father, we thank You for Your word that is a light unto our feet.
and a lamp unto our path. We pray, God, that this evening you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to receive everything that you would have for us, God. God, I pray that you would give me grace to minister your word with the gift that you've given me, that you might be glorified, God. God, after everything is said and done, that you would draw us closer to you, God. Mold us and shape us to be more like you and less like ourselves. In Jesus' name, and everybody said. Go ahead and be seated. Brother Kyle, if you can put that picture up on the screen. For those of you that might not know what this strange-looking plant is, it's called a century plant. And I never knew that these plants existed until recently because I'm not much of a plant guy. I'm not like Pastor Danny, because when Pastor Danny starts talking about his roses or his fruit trees, it's like he makes it sound like the most interesting thing in the world. He'll talk about his roses blooming and how there has to be a certain temperature in the air and the humidity has to be just right and the moon has to be in just the right place in the sky for them to be trimmed so that they can grow more the next year. And Pastor Danny gets off on his roses and his fruit trees. I, on the other hand, I'm not much of a gardener. I think the closest I ever got to gardening was when I was a kid and they made you put a bean inside of a milk carton to watch it grow. I don't know if you guys remember that far back. You might have one of those in your house now by the sink. One of your kids has a little thing where it shows them how plants grow. That's probably as close as I got to gardening in my whole life. But this plant here that's growing outside of my house is, it got my attention. Because all the growth that you see there happened in a matter of a couple of months. The century plant is part of the agave family, which is kind of like a cactus. So it only grows to be about this high. It usually has a lifespan of anywhere of 20 or 30 years. And in one time in its life, it grows a stalk like that, and it blooms one time in its life. After it blooms, it dies. And after it dies, there's some sprouts at the end of it, that, at the bottom, that make it to continue to grow. So there'll always be a plant there, but it'll never blossom like this. I thought that was really interesting. And before I knew it, I was intrigued with this plant. We were at the Mighty Men of Valor, and I was talking to Brother Gary about the plant, and I was calling back home, and I was like, how's my plant doing? Because it hadn't bloomed yet, and I was rooting for this plant. Once I realized that it only had one opportunity to reproduce, it has one chance in its lifetime to bloom, to produce fruit, so that more of these plants will grow somewhere else. So as I would leave to work and I would see it and it quite hadn't yet bloomed, I would look at the plant and I'd say, I'm rooting for you. You can do this. You got it. You can bloom. This is your only chance in your whole life to do it. Go for it. I'm rooting for you. You can do it. A couple of days ago, it bloomed. And there was all kinds of bees buzzing around the flowers that it had produced. And I thought to myself, those bees are pollinating or getting pollen from that plant, taking it to another plant because they're going to reproduce so that there will be another baby plant growing somewhere. But this plant has one chance in its lifetime that is going to secure its future, that is going to make sure that its species doesn't die. If it blows it, there's no more plants. He has one chance, and that's what I want to talk to you about this evening, is taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. This plant had one chance, one opportunity, and it made the best of that opportunity to reproduce. But what I want to ask you tonight is, are we making the best of every opportunity that God gives us? A few months ago, I'm standing in the parking lot, and I see Fritos, young Fritos, running to the parking lot, and I see that Sister Natalie had just drove up. And I said, you sure are in a hurry to get somewhere, aren't you? He turned back to me, he goes, I'm going to marry that girl one day. Yesterday was that day.
He took advantage of the opportunity that he had, and he made it happen yesterday, and what he spoke out of his mouth came into existence yesterday because he took advantage of the opportunity that was before him. You see, we have the story here of the life of David, and some of you are going to say, oh, Mark, you're going to speak about David again? Yes, I'm going to speak about David again. With it, deal with it. We have David that is running from Saul. And he's in the wilderness and he finds out that Saul is coming after him. And with him are 3,000 men. So he sends out spies to confirm whether or not it is that Saul is after him. And they say, yes, it's Saul. So what does David do? David says, well, I need to go see for myself. So David, all by himself, doesn't take anybody with him. He goes to the enemy's camp. And the Bible says that he saw Saul surrounded by 3,000 soldiers all around him. But David was able to get close enough to Saul. He was able to get close enough to the enemy's camp to see what was going on there. And the Bible says that he returned to his men. And he asked, hey, I've seen the enemy's camp. I've seen Saul with 3,000 people around him. Who will go with me to see the enemy's camp? There was two men that he posed that question or gave that invitation to. Only one man took advantage of the opportunity that David had given him. You see, when I read this story, I couldn't help but think of the ministry of Victory Outreach. And I'll tell you why. Because David had gone to the enemy's camp and survived. He had gone into the middle of where all the opposition was, and he had survived. And he ran back to his the people that were with him. And he invited them to come and see what God had shown him. He invited him to come and see where God had taken him to. He invited someone to come with him to see what God was able to do in an individual's life. And I look at this story and I can't help but think of the ministry of Victory Outreach, because that is what our ministry is all about. It is about men and women that have given their lives to the Lord, that have gone to the enemy's camp, that have experienced the battle, that have experienced what God is able to do in the life of an individual, and they come back and they say, come and see what God is able to do in the life of an individual that is willing to trust God. Come and see what God is able to do is what David was challenging these two men with. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of a drug addict. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of an alcoholic. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of a prostitute. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of a gang member. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of an individual who was down and out without hope, without any direction in their life. And come and see how God is able to do something in their lives. That's the ministry of Victory Outreach. Those are the testimonies that we testify to on the streets. We get up in front of people on a street corner or in a park rally, and all we're doing is inviting them to come and see what God is able to do in their lives. But how many of us are going to take advantage of that opportunity? We hear, one of the things that I hear is like when Pastor Pat comes up here and he talks about his experiences in the home and the things that he went through, the challenges that he went through, and what God has been able to do in his life since then. What he's saying is, come and see. Those of you that are in the home, stick it out. Come and see what God was able to do in my life, because God is able to do the same thing in your life.
Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, when they testify about their rocky marriage at the beginning, and they talk about all the challenges and how they had to really get a hold of God to make it through the ministry, they're saying, come and see. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of a couple that totally and completely trusts God. It doesn't matter how far gone your spouse might be. It doesn't matter if they're out there ripping and running. Come and see what God can do in the life of a woman that is willing to pray for 10 years that God would save her husband. Come and see. Come and see what God is doing in the ministry of Victory Outreach. I see the missionaries that come to conferences and talk about the world and what God is doing in foreign countries and how God is reaching people in Asia, how God is reaching people in Africa. And all they're simply saying is come and see what God can do in the life of an individual. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you've been in jail or in prison. Come and see that God is able to use your life to reach the hurting people around the world. That's what they were saying was come and see. And he wanted them to take advantage of that opportunity to see firsthand what God is able to do in an individual's life. Come and see. I want to make an invitation to you tonight. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of a backslider. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of an individual that didn't think that God wanted anything to do with him anymore. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of a man that came busted up 4 years ago into the home with nothing but the clothes on his back. And God was able to move in his life, change him, transform him, set him free, bless him, restore his relationship with his children. Come and see what God is able to do in people's lives. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a healing God. We serve a God of restoration. Take advantage of the opportunity and come and see what God is able to do. It was an opportunity for these men. You know, whenever the offering comes around, that's an opportunity. But how many of us look at it as an opportunity? You know, when Pastor Danny talks about building pledges and pledges that we need, there's people that squirm in their seats. There's people that'll go on and say, oh no, they're just asking for money again. Because they look at it as a hardship instead of an opportunity. I'll tell you what, every time the offering basket goes around, or every time my pastor asks for a pledge, I don't look at it as a hardship. I look at it as an opportunity to give to the work of God, to give to our local church, to see what God is able to do in the life of people that are willing to give. You'll say, well, that's easy for you, Mark. You have a good job. It wasn't always like that. I didn't always have a good job. There was times not so long ago where I was in the home, living off of donations, living off of the generosity of other people. When I was in the home and didn't have two nickels to rub together. But because of God's faithfulness and my willingness to give, even the little bit that I had, even if it was $5, $10, $15, I saw it as an opportunity, as planting a seed in my future. And now I can see the benefits of being faithful in my giving because God has blessed me, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. It's not a muleta, it's not a hardship when they ask for pledges. It is an opportunity to see God move on your behalf. We miss out on the blessings of God because like the pastor said this morning, we want to hold on to the little bit that we have instead of letting it go and see what God is able to do with what we're willing to give Him. There are men and women in this church that are challenging us tonight to say, come and see what God is able to do in the life of somebody that is willing to give to the work of the Lord. Somebody that gives their tithes, their offering. They are united we can. Come and see how much God can bless you. Who's going to accept the challenge? You see, the Bible says that David made the challenge to two different men. The first guy was a Hittite. Abishai was one of the Israelites, children of God. Two very different types of people. Some commentators say that Abishai was related to David, that he was his nephew or his cousin. They shared the same bloodline. They shared the same genealogy. They shared the same history. They shared the same testimony of how God was able to move in the life of their people. You see, the Hittites didn't come on the scene until the children of Israel crossed into the promised land. You see, the Hittites weren't there during the suffering and enslavement in Egypt. The Hittites weren't with the children of God when they were in the wilderness trusting God. They weren't with the children of Israel when they were crossing through the Red Sea or crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. They didn't have the same history. I'll go as far as to say is that they didn't have the same DNA as Abishai did, because they didn't come into the scene until after the children of Israel were already in the promised land. Why is that significant? I'll tell you why. Because Abishai, because he shared the history, because he shared the same genealogy, because he shared the same testimony as David, he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to face his fear. He was willing to go into the enemy's camp because he knew that the future of his people depended on him going there and seeing what God was able to do. He was invested in it because he was a child of the living God. The Hittites didn't have an investment in it because they didn't have the same suffering. They didn't have the same struggles. They hadn't seen the same deliverance of the Lord. And if that doesn't remind you of Victory Outreach, I don't know what will. You see, because we all share the same DNA. We all share the same history. We all share the same genealogy. We share the same vision. We share the vision that was started by Pastor Sonny 50 years ago. That people could reach the hurting people of the inner city. That drug addicts could be changed. That gang members could be changed. That prostitutes could be changed. That God would be able to raise up a ministry that would impact the world from a bunch of dope fiends, a bunch of gang members, a bunch of ex-prisoners. That God was able to raise up a ministry. We have the same investment as Pastor Sonny. We have the same investment of the people that have gone before us, because there are people that we know close to our heart, members of our family that are still out there in the world, lost, hopeless, with no sense of direction in their lives. And we have the opportunity to send a message of hope to our family members that are hurting, that are still lost, that are still bound to drugs and alcohol. We have the message that is able to set them free by going and telling them, come and see what God is able to do. But we got to be willing to take that risk. We got to be willing, like Abishai was, to go into the enemy's camp with those of us here in this church that have already been there. You see, David wasn't asking Abishai to go somewhere that he himself hadn't already been. You see, the men and women of God that preach behind this pulpit are not asking you to go somewhere that they haven't been. They're not asking you to do something that they haven't done. They're not asking you to sacrifice something that they haven't sacrificed. They're not asking you to trust God in a way that they haven't trusted God. The reason why they're letting you know is because they've done those things and they've seen how God has been faithful. The reason why we talk about giving and God is going to bless you is because we've seen it in our own lives. The reason why we go to the home and we preach to stick it out, to trust the process and allow God to move in your life, because we've seen it work in our own lives. We've seen God use the home to raise us up, to strengthen us so that we don't have to go back to the lifestyle that we were living. We're not asking anybody to do anything that we haven't already done. We've been to the enemy's camp. We've seen what God is able to do. God is able to lift you up. God is able to provide. God is able to open up doors of opportunity. God is able to use your life to reach hurting people all over the world. We've seen it happen in our own lives. Will you take advantage of the opportunity? You see, the Hittite didn't take advantage of that opportunity. Abishai did. You know what is significant about him taking advantage of that opportunity? Is what happened in his life afterwards. For Abishai, it was a defining moment in his life. He went with David. He trusted his leader. He wanted to see what his leader saw. He wanted to see what God was able to do in somebody's life. He was willing to trust his leader to take him somewhere where he had never been himself. My leader's been there. And he came back to tell the story. So if God can do it for him, God can do it for me. And if he's asking me to go with him, then I'm going to go with him. I'm going to trust him because I've seen that God has been able to do it in his life. Abishai took the challenge. He took advantage of the opportunity that his leader gave him. And this is why it's significant. The Hittite that's mentioned here in this passage of Scripture, you never hear from him again. Never went on to greatness, never went on to do anything. This is the first and only time that he's mentioned in the Bible. Abishai, on the other hand, went on to be one of the commanders in David's army. He went on to be one of David's mighty men. More than that, when David was nearing the end of his life, and he went out one last time into the battlefield, the Bible says that David was fighting against one of the giants related to Goliath. And the giant was getting the best of him. And the Bible says that Abishai came to David's rescue. And he killed the giant that was threatening the life of his leader. He took him out and he told him, David, you can't go out to battle anymore because you are the light. You are the keeper of the vision. You are the one that is giving us guidance and direction. Let us fight the battles for you. You just give us a direction that God wants to take us. It was significant in his life later on because there was a man early on in his life that told him, come and see. Come and see what God has done in my life. Come and see what God is able to do in your life. And once he got a glimpse of God's greatness, of God's protection, of God's provision, once he got a glimpse of how big God was, his life was transformed forever. To the point where at the end of, almost the end of David's life, he was willing to give his life for the man that had given him an opportunity. Jesus has given every one of us an opportunity. Are we going to be like Abishai and be faithful to the one that has given us this opportunity? Listen to me. Nobody wanted us. When we were out ripping and running, doing the things that we were doing, our families didn't want us. We were no good to them. The jail and prison system didn't want us. They labeled us incorrigible, STG. They labeled us all these things because they didn't want to deal with us. They had no answer. And then one glorious day, Jesus Christ comes into our lives. One day, Jesus comes into our lives and he gives us an opportunity. He brings us to the home. He brings us to the church. He gives us an opportunity to do something with our lives. He gives us an opportunity to correct all the wrong that we've done. He gives us an opportunity to be somebody. He gives us an opportunity to make something out of our lives. But how do we repay him for that opportunity? Do we say, just thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity? I'll catch you later, catch you on the rebound? Or do we say, you know what, Lord, you gave me a chance when nobody else would. God, I am who I am because of you. I have what I have because of you. I'm doing what I'm doing because of you, God. You are everything in my life, God. I give you my life in gratitude for the opportunity that you've provided me. Because of what you've done, God, in my life, I've been given an opportunity to be restored with my family. Because of what you've done in my life, God, you've given me an opportunity to hold my head up. Because of what you've done in my life, God, you've given me an opportunity to do something in this powerful ministry of Victory Outreach, God. Because of the opportunity that you gave me, God, I'm going to give my life back to you, God. My invitation tonight is going to be, come and see. Take advantage of this opportunity. Come and see what God is able to do in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you came here because somebody invited you or simply out of curiosity, come and see. Come and see what God wants to do in your life. Come and see what the Lord wants to do in the life that He has for you. If you're here, you're in the home, the men's home or in the women's home, and sometimes you're wondering, what am I doing in the home? Come and see. Come and see what God is able to do in the life of an individual when he comes into the home and totally surrenders their life to the Lord. If you're in this place and it feels like your life is just going back and forth, come and see what God wants to do in your life. Come and see the heights that God can take you. I'm going to ask you to stand from all over this place. Hallelujah. Come on, just bow your heads with me and let's worship the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, God, that you gave us, Lord, when you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. The opportunity that you gave us, God, by setting us free from drugs, alcohol, and the things that had us bound, God. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us in this ministry, God, to serve you. Where other ministries might not even open the doors to us, God, not even consider that we could be used by God. You've given us an opportunity in the ministry of Victory Outreach that has welcomed us to be used in your service, Lord. Thank you for that opportunity, God. If you're here this evening, I believe God has challenged our hearts to step out, to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. Even tonight, being here in this service, take advantage of this altar call and say, God, I want to take advantage of this opportunity and give my life to you, Lord. I want to serve you, God. I want to see, God, everything that you can do in my life, God. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar from all over this place and just lift your heart and your voice. Voice.